We're going to do something here today that's a little different than a normal sermon. It's kind of a combination sermon and Bible study. But I want to review what happened with the disciples and the people in the church, primarily the disciples and those who were trying to follow Christ, from the time that Christ was resurrected. He was crucified, of course, and from the time, though, that he was resurrected until Pentecost, what was going on during that period of time? I think it's rather educational to see the disciples, what their attitude was, the things that they were still learning, because they still, at that point, did not get the full picture. They didn't even understand, as we're going to see, many of the Old Testament prophecies that prophesied what was going to happen to Jesus Christ, which is kind of surprising. You'd think that after being with him for 3.5 years and being sent out as his representatives and, you know, casting out demons and doing all these different things and being with Christ and seeing his the miracles that he did, that they'd understand all of that and that they would be prepared for his death, and after his death they would be expecting the resurrection. But it surprised me, even going over this, that Christ had to reveal, after he was resurrected and he appeared to them, he was still teaching them, and he had to show them in the Bible the Old Testament prophecies that had already been fulfilled regarding him. And they didn't understand that, and he had to show that to them. Well, let's start first here, and let's go to Luke, the second chapter. Now, this does not have anything to do with the resurrection of Christ, but it gives us a starting point here, I think. Luke 2, start in verse 7, gives us a little background, which I thought was kind of interesting here in reviewing this. Luke, the second chapter, verse 7. And this is when Christ was born. And she brought forth, this is talking about his mother, her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, we know this from all the Christmas things that we've heard over and over, hymns that we've sung, or Christmas things, whatever they are. And a lot of this will be familiar. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, and this is kind of interesting too, I thought about this. It's interesting that God chose for Christ to be born in the meagerest of environment. Be in a manger. You know what a manger is? It's where they feed the animals, you know, put a little hay in there. So there he was. And who did God reveal the fact that Christ was born to? Well, the shepherds. They're out there in the field at night. I mean, why didn't he reveal this to high up people? He didn't. He chose the lowly people to reveal this to. It's just interesting to observe that. Okay, so they were there in the... There wasn't any room for them in the inn, so they had to stay in the manger, or in the barn, if you put it frankly. And verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, in verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Don't fear, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, again, we want to see God's viewpoint or God's approach, and the angels are relaying this information that God was looking to everybody. Now, we all know that certainly they didn't accept Christ and they killed him and all the other things, but God's intention was to bring salvation to all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. So God's attitude was, and all of a sudden you hear these angels praising God, or they see these angels praising God, and they hear them, of course, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. So it was God's viewpoint and his approach to bring peace to the earth, ultimately, and goodwill towards men. In other words, not this big ogre up there. You better not step out of line or God's going to squash you like a grape. This is not God's viewpoint. Goodwill towards men. He's saying, look, I like you people. I like mankind. And Christ expressed certainly the same thing. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds, just think of what just happened there. That's pretty incredible. Were gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said to one another, look, let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Now that's, we're sitting here reading it. Obviously we believe what we read here because we know it's true, but it's pretty spectacular. You're out in the middle of the fields with your sheep, and all of a sudden this big angel, powerful angel, comes down and begins to tell you this, and then more angels are singing, and then they all go away. That would get your attention. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph in verse 16 and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad to the saying which was told of them of this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They didn't necessarily believe it, but I'm sure that they were like, wow, that's pretty impressive. They thought about that. But Mary, it's just interesting, I made a note here on this, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The mother didn't fully understand what was going on here. I mean, she did to a degree, but she just kept these things in her mind and she thought about them. And of course, she eventually saw them play out. Well, in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. Okay, then Christ is circumcised, and as we move down further, we see here in verse 24, to offer a sacrifice to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Okay, so he had to be, that every male, every firstborn male that opens the womb in verse 23, shall be called holy to the Lord, and they had to redeem that child. Verse 25, and behold, this was also quite interesting. A man is by the name of Simeon. He said, this man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, for the salvation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So God was inspiring him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, we call Christ the Lord, but here it says before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the Father, once again, is referred to as the Lord. And he came to, verse 27, and he came by the Spirit. In other words, God's Spirit obviously led him into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things. You would think that they would have understood everything, but they didn't. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, In other words, they were going to speak against Christ, but he was still going to be a sign. Yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And God, of course, God would show people themselves as time went on through the Holy Spirit, and revealed, of course, what people were really thinking. And then Anna the prophetess later on, who was of great age, made comments and so on regarding Christ. So this is the starting point of God, how God intervened to bring Christ on the earth. Now we'll jump back and see in Matthew 28 what happened after Christ was crucified and resurrected. Now we'll be reading in different parts of the gospel here, because of course each one gives a different account, basically the same thing but says little different things. And so verse 20 or chapter 28 of Matthew and verse 28 or verse 1, some people read this as the fact that, or use the scripture to say that the Sabbath has ended. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, see, there is no Sabbath anymore, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher, his mother. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. And this is another spectacular thing to have experienced. And as the Lord, as the angel descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it, because they were worried, well, how are we going to get this stone out? Because they had these spices and so on. How are we going to get the stone rolled back? Well, it was taken care of for them. And here's this very powerful angel sitting on the top of the stone. This was a very large, round stone, and it was a disc that they were able to roll out of the way. And then it describes what this angel looked like. Now, here are these guards sitting there. They were a little bit astonished. The angel's countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. How close have you ever been to lightning? Well, I have been about 10 or 15 feet from lightning. I don't ever want to be that close again, thank you very much. I was just about, the storm had just passed over. I found out later someone during that same storm had run from a restaurant out into the parking lot to get to his car and was struck by lightning and killed. The storm had passed. We were out in New Jersey at the time. And I had driven into this parking lot, and I was about to get out and go into the building. It wasn't raining. There was no, the edge of the storm was moving to the east. And the stock report came out. Saved by the stock report, which I always like to listen to. So I stayed in the car to listen to the stock report, and while I was sitting there, all of a sudden, you ever hear the bolt out of the blue? Well, all of a sudden the ground exploded in front of the car, maybe 10 feet in front of the car. Dirt flew up, and then the lightning bolt came down. So what I found out later was a lot of times it actually comes from the earth and goes up to meet the cloud. It literally blew dirt that high, left a hole in the ground, and that lightning bolt, it was probably that big in diameter, I guess, just scared me. I mean, it caused me to have a headache later because of the power of it. It does affect you, but thankfully I was in the car on rubber tires and hadn't gotten out of the car and was walking in the open towards this building. I could have very easily been zapped. that really showed me how powerful lightning can be. And like I said, I mean, I had to go home and lie down and rest because my head was kind of throbbing. It literally shocks you because of the power of that electricity. It's just incredible. Now, this angel looked like In other words, his countenance, his face, not the part that was covered up with his robe, which was white, but his face was like lightning. Now, that would scare you. And here he is sitting. He rolled the stone back. They're supposed to be guarding the sepulcher. Christ was already gone, but rolls the stone back and sits on top of the stone. And verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake. I think so. And became as dead men. They made quite an impression on them. And the angel answered and said to the women, don't fear, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you into Galilee. Now you remember that he told his disciples to meet him on a mountain in Galilee, which we'll see here in a bit. He told them that before he died. And of course, a lot of them unbelieving that Christ was really resurrected. And behold, go before you in Galilee, there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly, verse 8, from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. So go ahead and do what we agreed to do, he's telling them, and then you're going to see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, finally these fellows awakened from their dead dead response to the angel, and so they went into the city. Some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And typically, nobody wanted to admit what was really going on, and so they had to come up with a story. And when they were assembled with the elders, they had taken counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers. So they gave them bribes, and they told them, this is what you say. His disciples came by night, and they stole him away while we fell asleep on watch, which, of course, is a bad thing to do. But they were happy to acknowledge that or to say that because what else could they say? They had to come up with some story. And he says, and if this come to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him. In other words, we'll protect you. So they took the money, and as they were taught, as they were told, just like it would happen in Chicago, we know how to take care of things, okay? We make everything come out just fine, just a matter of how much is it going to cost us. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So it was effective in what they did. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So they ended up going to where Christ had told them to go before he died. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But look at that. And some doubted. That's interesting. there were still some who were doubting. And they think, they were like, oh, this is an imposter. This is somebody trying to fake this. I mean, how do we know this really is? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So that statement goes on to apply to us. But here they were, told to go to the mountain ahead of time. Christ goes there, he appears, they worshiped him. But some of them were still doubting. Interesting. They still had a lot to learn. They weren't quite ready to go out and do what he said right here, and that is to teach all nations. This period between the crucifixion and Pentecost is a crucial training period for these disciples. It's kind of like similar to our own conversion, where we go. Well, let's just go to John here. Go to John 14 here real quick. This is something we need to always remember. John 14, verse 16. He said, and we read this at the Passover, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that it may abide with you forever. So Christ is telling his disciples, I'm going to give you another Comforter, because he was the Comforter in person. But I'm going to give you another one, that it, the power of God, or the Holy Spirit, is going to abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it sees it not, neither knows it. Now, not, first of all, the world doesn't even understand, or certainly doesn't see God's Holy Spirit. In other words, doesn't see the results of it, and certainly doesn't even know what the Holy Spirit really is. Some of you have been in churches where people get the feeling of the Spirit. Now, they get a feeling, and it is a spirit, but it's the wrong one. God's Holy Spirit doesn't give you a feeling. It is understanding. It's all the things we read in the Bible. It gives us the ability to read and understand this book, gives us wisdom, perception, helps us understand prophecy, does not give us a feeling. But Satan does. And Satan has tricked and deceived lots of people through that, because they feel something or they experience something. Oh, that must be the Spirit of God. Well, you can't find that in the Bible. Okay, so they don't even know it exists, the true power of God. And he said, but you know it. Now, this is the key thing. When you and I are called, here were the disciples, 3.5 years with Jesus Christ at this point, before he was crucified, and God's Holy Spirit was still only working with them. He says, for it dwells with you. He was working with their mind, drawing them, bringing, giving them slowly but surely, not everything, but a little bit at a time, revealing to them the truth and helping them to understand. And that's why I remember the example, and I've used this before, where Christ asked, who do men say that I am? And they say, oh, you're this. They're saying you're this and that. And then Christ said, well, who do you say that I am? And then they said, well, you're the Son of God. When he asked Peter, and Christ said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So God's Spirit gave them the ability to recognize Christ as the Savior, as Jesus Christ, only way that they could. The rest of the world didn't understand it. And that's because God's Spirit was working with them and shall be in you. Now that was about to happen on the day of Pentecost. So from the time Christ was resurrected until Pentecost was still a crucial period. God was still revealing through his Holy Spirit understanding and insight that the disciples had to slowly come to understand. You and I know from being in the church many, many years that God did not show you everything at once, did he? Do you think we understand it all now? No. We're still learning. But we have greatly advanced understanding from someone who may just, you know, be coming to understand. Because God has to show us a little bit at a time, so he works with us. And then when finally we come to full repentance and understanding, then God gives us his Spirit as part of us or in us, and then he begins to live his life over again in you and I. And that's why we're talking about being a servant like Christ, because that was what example he set. Not to lord it over people, but to be a servant, giving and helping, doing what we need to do to help other people. Okay, so I just want you to understand that concept. That's very important. And the disciples were still in that mode where God's Spirit was working with them even after the resurrection of Christ. And he talked, you know, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is given to you, which was going to take place in the day of Pentecost or shortly there, or just before that. And then you see the difference between the way Peter conducted himself after having denied Christ three times and all these other factors, and that's a whole other sermon, which is pretty interesting, about the repentance of Peter and what he all went through. You see his conduct totally changed, and you know, standing up on the day of Pentecost, giving this powerful sermon, a few days later, walking through the streets and asking God to heal the crippled man. He stands up, and you know, all these spectacular things. So it's pretty interesting. All right, let's go to Mark 16. We're not too far from there. Let's see, we're going by that clock up there. So we started at 2, right? All right. Got to keep going here. Mark the 16th chapter. And start here in verse 6. And he said to them, don't be frightened. The same situation here. He said, this is the angel. He said, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. He's talking to, Mary Magdalene and Mary again. He's risen. He said, but verse 7, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you to Galilee. There shall you see him as he said to you. And they went out quickly, and they fled the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to anybody, for they were afraid. And verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared, and if it's interesting, he couldn't have been resurrected during the Sabbath because he had to be in the grave 3 days and three nights, and he died, or was put in the grave, I should say, at sunset, the first day, and he would have had to have stayed there until sunset Saturday night. So right at that time, technically, right after he completed the 3 days. And that's why it says early the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And she went and told them, you know, the disciples, that he had, them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. So they were mourning and weeping, and here comes Mary Magdalene telling them that Christ is alive. And they, when they had heard this, or that he was alive and had seen of her, believed not. They didn't believe her. They thought, oh, this is a crazy woman. She's just imagining things. And she just didn't believe her. After that, he appeared in another form to these two other men who were walking into the country. They didn't recognize who he was. And they went and told it to the remainder of the people. And there's another description we'll get into here in a minute. And they went and told it to the residue, or the disciples. Neither, they didn't believe them either. And afterward, now here they had been with him 3.5 years. He told them he was going to be resurrected. And everybody's coming as witnesses saying that Christ has been resurrected. We saw him and so on. And they go back to report and they don't believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 as they sat eating, and he corrected them, and he upbraided them, in the King James, with their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believed not them that which had seen him after he was risen. So he had to correct them. Here he is appearing to them after he was resurrected, and he had to get on their case. How come you didn't believe them? I told you this was going to happen. And you would, and here are the witnesses, and you still didn't believe it. And he said to them, go you into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, and they shall speak in different languages, and they shall take up serpents, and they will, and if they drink any deadly thing, they will not be hurt by it. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into the heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth then, after he got corrected by Christ, the resurrected Christ, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now he told them, though, to stay in Jerusalem, which we'll see in another spot here, until Pentecost came. So let's drop down here to Luke again. Luke 24, towards the end of the book. But it's still amazing to me that the disciples were doubting, and they didn't believe the witnesses, and Christ had to correct them for that. But they still didn't fully understand, and that's still hard to understand, with the assumption that, you know, if you're with Christ for 3.5 years, you would understand all these things. But they didn't. They were still in the learning process. Luke 24. We can start here in verse 6. So again, same reiteration. The angel says, he's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee. So the angel is reminding him, remember what he told you? Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. So they believed he was the Son of God. And he told them, I'm going to be resurrected after the third day. But when people either saw him or got reports from people who were legitimate, they wouldn't believe it. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things to the 11 and to all of the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were there with them, which told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they didn't believe them. They just like, oh, these women are, they want to see Christ alive again so much, they miss him so much, that they just are making this up, and they're making up idle tales. And they didn't believe them. But Peter, being the type of individual he was, and of course John with him, then Peter arose and ran to the sepulcher, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So he was wondering, what in the world has happened? And behold, two of them went that... Now this is interesting. This is interesting. These weren't two of the apostles. These were just two of the men who were with the 120, or probably part of the 120, the believers. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So obviously they were rehearsing everything, because a lot of things had transpired in 3 or 4 days. Now this is Sunday afternoon, if we want to call it Sunday, or the first day of the week. Sometime it seems in the afternoon. And it came to pass that while they communed, they were talking together and reasoning and trying to figure this whole thing out, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were closed that they should not know him. And so he didn't allow them to recognize him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have with one another? What are you talking about as you're walking along and you're sad? What are you talking about here? Well, then one of them piped up and said, who was Cleopas, answering and said to him, Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which have come to pass here in these last few days? And he said to them, well, what things? And they said to him, oh, well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. See, they were still thinking he was going to live on, and we were looking forward to the fact that he was going to be the Savior of Israel, and he was going to change the world right then. That's why the disciples were arguing, well, now who's going to be the greatest? Because, you know, there's going to be an organization set up here, and Christ is going to be ahead of it. And so, you know, let's get our position set up right away. Because they thought it was going to happen right then. And just think about this. And little did they know, including Paul, that 2,000 years later, we'd still be going. There is no way the Apostle Paul or these disciples could have comprehended that God would let time go on for 2,000 more years. Think about that. They all thought it was going to happen right then. What's going to be the sign of your coming? And Christ gave him, you know, Matthew 24. But no one could comprehend back then, especially Paul, who thought it was going to happen very, very soon, that it was going to go on for 2,000 more years. This is why people, I have a friend right now who I just talked to the other day, on the 24th, which is a Saturday, I think, of this month, he is going to be raptured, he thinks. And the world is going to come apart. And he and I have been fishing buddies in the past. And I said, so-and-so, just pencil me in for June and plan to come out here and spend a few days fishing. And he's laughing. I said, I guarantee you it will not happen. Yeah, but what if it does? I said, well, first of all, it's not going to happen. Second of all, if it did, there wasn't anything I could do about it anyway. But I said, what I am upset about is this person who has deceived you and is preaching this heresy and setting dates, which Christ said you can't know, and, you know, deceiving all these people. I said, I'm not going to laugh at you or I'm not going to ridicule you. I'm just sorry that you're listening to this stuff. And that you really believe it. He really believes it. It's the way it is. Watch out. Many will come in my name to deceive many. Okay, so these people, verse 21 again, but we trusted that he had been, this was the person who is going to redeem Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early to at the sepulcher, and when they found not the body or didn't find the body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found, and he's referring to Peter, and found it even so, as the women said, but they didn't see him, referring to Christ. Then he said to them, O fools, now this is Christ. this is powerful. Here he's walking with them. They don't know who he is at this point. They'll find out here shortly. But then he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That is strong. I'm not going to put it in modern English. I'll just read it this way. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? In other words, if you understood what the Old Testament said and what was prophesied to happen, we knew this had to happen. He had to have this transpire. But these guys didn't understand it, even though they were believers and followers of Christ. And then in verse 27, he had to explain things. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now they could understand for the first time all these prophecies, which they did not understand until right now, of what was prophesied to happen to Christ. And they drew near to the village whither they were, or where they were going, and he made it look like he was going to continue to go further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to be with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. and they knew him, and then he disappeared. I mean, just think about going through this. You have to have Christ walk with you and say, look, you guys, look what it says in the Bible. And then he starts going through the proof in the Bible of what was prophesied to happen, which now had already taken place. And they were like, wow, that's unbelievable. And they said to one another, verse 33, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures? Christ opened the Scriptures and gave them understanding through his Spirit. He had to open the Scriptures. Scriptures were there day before. They were there a month before. They didn't get it. That's surprising, isn't it? But this is what was transpiring from his resurrection onto the day of Pentecost. And they rose up the same hour and they returned to Jerusalem. So they got up from the town. This was at night. They went all the way back to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, in other words, while they were walking, and how he had known of them in the breaking of bread, or was known of them in the breaking when they finally had their eyes open. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? In other words, these doubts. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not, for joy and wondered, he said to them, Have you anything to eat? And he gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in Psalms concerning me. Then, verse 45, opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. If you don't have, we don't have God's understanding, his Spirit, we cannot understand the Scriptures. It's like talking, you know, to the brick. You can't get it. And the disciples were with Christ for 3.5 years. He told them these things were going to happen. They did not understand, which is like, wow. It took now for these things to be revealed to them. And he said to them, verse 46, it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, which was the Holy Spirit, but wait you in the city of Jerusalem until you be imbued with the power from on high, which was to come on the day of Pentecost. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty moving, to say the least. Okay, I'm going to, well, let's go to John 20. Let's see here. I want to make sure. Let's just go to John 20. All right, I'm going to, well, let's see here. John 20, and start here. In verse 1, it repeats the same thing. This is when it refers to the fact that Peter and John ran to the sepulcher and saw that, saw what had happened. And I'm going to cruise down here. Okay, verse 9. This is that repeat of the same thing. Verse 9 in John 20. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now, it was very important for them to know the scripture because that's what we base our belief on, is what's in the Bible, not just because somebody said something. And so the disciples then had scriptural proof, once they understood what the scripture meant, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. And other things transpired here. I want to skim down through here. Let's start in verse 19. He said, then the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side, as we heard before. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And this is a commission to us as well. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and gives them more instruction. Thomas hadn't been with them at that one particular time. And so he said, well, I'm not believing it till I can stick my hand in the side and put my finger in those nail holes. Then I'll believe. And Christ said later, well, you believe because now you've seen it, but blessed be the ones who believe who haven't seen it. I want to read that, if I can quickly find it here. Verse 29, Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me and have believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, we're in that situation. We have never seen Christ. We haven't seen him resurrected. We weren't there. But he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And other signs Christ did in front of the disciples and so on. And then chapter 21, we're all familiar with the three times Christ talked to, and that had to be pretty dramatic because Peter said, well, I'm going fishing, and the rest of the fellows said, yeah, we're going too, and they fished all night, and they didn't catch anything, and finally they see this person on the shore, they didn't know it was Christ, and he said, have you caught anything? And they said, no. Well, he said, cast your net on the other side, and then the net was so heavy they could hardly bring it in, and one of them said, oh, it's Christ, because they weren't too far from the shore. And Peter, being the man that he was, couldn't wait to go on the boat. He jumped in and swam to shore. And so then Christ already had the fire going, and he fed them fish and bread. And when everybody was relaxed and he was talking and visiting with them, he finally gets to verse 15 through verse 17, and he tells them, to feed my lambs, to feed my sheep, to feed my sheep. That's a command that we have from God, to take care of those who God calls, who God gives understanding to, because we can't give it to anybody, but God can. We didn't give it to ourselves. God called us, and it was a miracle. We can see the disciples were with Christ all that time. They didn't still understand until God revealed it through his Holy Spirit and gave them understanding. And so, it's just pretty interesting to see how that all goes. And then finally, verse 22, and Jesus said to them, we don't need to read that, just talking about conversation between he and Peter and about John, which they misunderstood again. This is interesting. Verse 25, last verse of John 21, he says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So we're just getting a glimpse. And then finally, we go into the first chapter of Acts, which precedes the day of Pentecost. And we find them gathered together. And verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. And interesting what he says, he that through the Holy Spirit he gave these commandments, because now they could understand, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. In other words, I've told you about it. And John truly baptized with water, but I shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom? Remember what we just said? They still thought the kingdom was coming right then. Now notice this. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. So anybody who comes along and says, well, I know the day, then he is a liar, and the truth is not in him, because he's going against what the Bible says. But he shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, or you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is given to him, to them, and it shall be witnesses. Or you shall be witnesses. I have a hard time reading this King James, and I shouldn't do it, but I'm used to it. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, which they had not yet gone by any means. And so this applies as well to us. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing gazing up to heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And so they returned to Jerusalem. From the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And they were come in, they went up to the upper room, where they abode, both Peter, James, John, all the apostles. These, verse 14, all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with women and with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And then Peter stood up and said, he started talking about the about Judas and replacing him, which they did. And then we get to chapter 2, and you'll have to wait till Pentecost to find out the rest of the story. Pretty neat, huh?